The beautiful shoreline, the calming sound of Lake Michigan, the glorious sunrise, the warm June afternoons. This is Wisconsin Lakeshore Luther Hostel on the campus of Concordia University, Wisconsin, June 11th through the 14th, 2011. The program, Dr. Paul L. Meyer, professor of history at Western Michigan University and frequent guest on Issues Etc. Hit the topic, the Crescent and the Cross, Islam and Christianity. Dr. Meyer will cover the historical background of Muhammad, the rise of Islam around the world, the beliefs and practices of this world religion, and what its future may hold. In addition, the four-day, three-night Luther Hostel includes interesting day trips to area attractions. For details how you can register for Wisconsin Lakeshore Luther Hostel, sponsored by the Concordia Bible Institute on the campus of Concordia University, Wisconsin, visit the Concordia Bible Institute website at www.concordiabible.org or phone 262-243-4343.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Thursday afternoon, March the 10th. All of us fall victim to this if you are in any way connected, and so many of us are now, either against our will or according to our will. We've got a Facebook page. We maybe have a Twitter account. We have cell phones, and the cell phone rings, the text messages come in. We are more connected with one another in that sense than we've ever been before, and it's almost 24/7 in many of our lives. And yet, we are discovering as we stand on the threshold of this technological revolution that I think is only beginning when it comes to socializing virtually with one another, that it's changing the way we socialize in reality with one another. We're going to talk about the social impact of social networking. Colleen Carol Campbell joins us. She's host of a weekly radio and television program called Faith and Culture, author of the book The New Faithful, and she writes a weekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Colleen, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
I see two television personalities that epitomize the two ends of the spectrum on this whole thing of this socially networking. One is obviously Charlie Sheen, who,
right.
And the other one, I saw him just this morning, good old Regis Philbin, ready to leave television. He doesn't want to tweet. He doesn't want to Facebook. He doesn't want to do anything. He thinks the technology is a waste of time, and he says, phooey on the whole thing. Is the problem the technology?
Well, I don't think it is. I mean, certainly as Christians, we know that technology is a tool, and it can be used for great good or great evil. Many Christians are able to, you know, find a sort of virtual community online. It can't be a substitute for the real thing, but it can also be very supportive. You know, all the various blogs and websites and Facebook pages and all the rest of it, that where you can find more information, learn more about your faith, learn more about how to defend it in the secular culture, where you can also evangelize and share your faith with others. So technology as a tool can be used for good or ill. But with that said, I think sometimes we're a little too maybe optimistic about our use of technology. Sometimes I think we assume that as long as the website we're looking at is a good one, as long as the Facebook friends we have are nice people and we're not looking at pornography online or exchanging gossipy emails, that we can pretty much invest as much time as we want in these various technologies with no negative impact to our families or our souls. And I think that's certainly not true. You know, it's been said the medium is the message, and in a certain sense, that's the case. I do think technology changes the way we think, changes the way we interact, and I think one of the major problems that it has, especially when it comes to our family lives, is that it sort of encourages a very brief attention span, and we have a hard time, I think a much harder time than we used to, sustaining longer in-depth conversations and longer in-person visits, particularly sometimes when we're dealing with relatives, older ones who, you know, are maybe not as mesmerizing as they once were. There's always that temptation, check the text messages, call in, check the voicemail, you know, pop on the iPhone, see if there's anything new online, update the Facebook page, whatever. And that's where I think we need to be careful with just assuming that as long as the content of our messages, including those we post on a Facebook page, are good, we don't need to worry about the time spent. I think the time and the way it changes our attention span are actually pretty serious issues.
Is it analogous in some ways to, say, television, which in its inception was heralded as both a miracle and the end of Western civilization? And here we are, at least from my perception, Colleen, kind of standing on a similar threshold where we will think of our society as a pre-Facebook and post-Facebook society in a lot of ways.
I think that's true. We are really in the middle of this revolution, maybe not even the middle, maybe, as you said, just the threshold of it. And I don't think we fully understand the implications and how fast our world is changing and how much it will probably change even within our lifetimes. I think television, might in retrospect look like a smaller innovation compared to what we're experiencing now. I'm not sure. I do know television has changed, though, the American family and our social experience quite a bit. You know, I'm not a Luddite. I have a television show on EWTN, so obviously I don't think television is inherently evil. On the other hand, my kids are a year and a half and really haven't ever watched it, and that's not because I'm the world's greatest mom. It's just because I look at the amount of time that the average American child and adult, for that matter, spends watching television, and I find it, a huge waste of time in many cases, and B, just problematic from the standpoint of, intellectual development, and that's for adults too. I mean, I think we have to be wary, not only when it comes to television, but also the internet, of just always being sort of receivers of information and always kind of grazing along, hopping from one thing to the next, and never actually diving deeper and asking the deep questions that sometimes you can really only ask and ponder, obviously in prayer, but also in silence. And part of silence, I think, we tend to think of it as an audible thing, but silence is also turning off the computer, turning off the cell phone, and actually not constantly staying in the loop, but actually allowing God to speak to us. Where the chatter of the world, has taken its place in many cases. And again, that chatter isn't always the radio and TV. Nowadays, it's as often or more often the text messages, the cell phone, the Facebook updates, and all the rest of it.
Ironic that I recently saw, I think it was a Super Bowl commercial, in fact, the attempt to sell a faster phone so that you had more time to pay attention to real people standing around you, your kids, your wife, those things. Talk finally, if you would, with about a minute here, about the real need that each of us has to look up and engage the people around us.
Well, I think it is a profound need, and I think as Christians we need to be the ones who are really witnessing to that in the world. And unfortunately, most of us are just as prone to these temptations as anyone else. You know, you start having a conversation with a friend, and you look down, you get a text message, you stop to answer it, and you go back and try to resume what you were talking about. You do the same with a spouse or kids. I think kids often suffer quite a bit from this. From parents who are with them physically but not checked in mentally because they're constantly, on the phone, on the internet, all the rest of it, and especially now that we can carry the internet around in the palm of our hands, the idea is that we will have more time for real people, and it's true that many of us, myself included, are able to work out of home precisely because of these innovations. So again, they're not all good or all bad. But I think the idea of attentiveness to God and to the other person in the present moment is something we really need to recapture. And this is, it's been called the sacrament of the present moment, this idea that you really put your attention on the other person, and certainly in prayer on God, and you actually listen and you pay attention and you don't try to multitask, and you send the message that you're important enough that I'm going to give you my undivided attention because it's worth paying attention to, and more so than I'm going to keep in contact with six other people while you're trying to tell me something. No, I'm going to put it down, whether it's the phone, whatever it is, and just look at you and listen to you and be with you. And, I think the more we do this, the more we find that it's not as difficult as it is when we first begin. And that's, I think, the addictive nature of so much technology that we have to be wary of. The more that we kind of race around and divert our attention, the harder we find it to just sit and be still and live in the present moment. And that's just a really important skill that I think we all need to remember and cultivate.
Colleen Carroll Campbell is host of a weekly radio and television program called Faith and Culture, author of the book The New Faithful. She writes a weekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. You can read her columns at our website, issuesetc.org. Go to Listen on Demand. Thanks, Colleen.
Thanks for having me, Todd.